This is Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley. Granite Staters are heading to the polls next week for New Hampshire's state primary election, and there's still time to drop off an absentee ballot with your local town or city clerk, if need be. We're talking with the gubernatorial candidates on Morning Edition this week about their plans for the state's economy, given the negative impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Democrat Dan Feltes has served in the state Senate since 2014. He currently serves as Senate Majority Leader, and he joins us via Skype now. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
I know that you support raising the minimum wage. I know you've talked about instituting a paid family leave program, of course. What else is needed to address the economic fallout of the pandemic?
We put forward housing protections for renters and homeowners, including from Wall Street banks, the same kind of banks I fought against on behalf of homeowners during the last economic crisis, the Great Recession. Put landed that on Chris Sununu's desk. He vetoed it. Nursing home support, PPE, and testing, and an independent audit of what went wrong in our nursing home so we can plan moving forward. Chris Sununu vetoed it. PPE for small businesses, vetoed by Chris Sununu. COVID-19 health insurance for treatment and testing, vetoed by Chris Sununu. So we've laid out in the legislature and what we passed exactly how we can help get out of this mess. In addition to that, we need a real school reopening plan with actual public health standards and guidance and additional financial support to our schools and our communities. Chris Sununu threw up his hands, punted it all down to the local level, and now you're seeing basically chaos and uncertainty at the local level, and it's not fair to folks on the ground who, you know, serve as a school board member. They're not epidemiologists. They're serving their community, and these debates are happening out locally without any leadership and any clear guidance, support, standards, or financial support from Chris Sununu. He threw up his hands, punted it down to the local level, just like Trump punted it to the state level. And it's no surprise Chris Sununu calls himself, in his own words, a Trump guy through and through. Those are Chris Sununu's own words.
I want to talk a little bit more about some of the economic fallout here from the pandemic. I know that estimates vary, but the state is expected to be facing a huge budget deficit heading into next year. We're likely looking at tens of millions of dollars. What are your plans to balance the state budget? What would be the top priorities for funding right now, and how would you fund any initiatives given the deficit?
Well, first and foremost, as chair of the Senate Ways and Means Committee, I can tell you that in this fiscal year, the deficit's about $143 million. It's going to be audited. It's going to be ballpark $143, give or take a few million. That can be covered right now, Rick, by the CARES Act money that's in the state treasury if Chris Sununu wanted to do it. Literally, could shore up that budget in the short term right now.
How can he do that? Isn't there federal parameters on that it cannot be spent on state budgets?
And under the revised guidance of the U.S. Treasury Secretary, there is maximum flexibility. So if you can manage it, you should be able to take care of it. And he has shown fundamentally incapable of managing the state budget. Not only that, Rick, he has cut substance use disorder treatment services. He has cut housing and homelessness services. He cut a prescription drug relief program for low-income seniors out of the budget already. And now he's using that CARES Act money he could use to support the budget. And instead, he's using it to go out to a consultant to identify additional cuts, presumably so he can hide behind those cuts when he cuts the state budget. On day one, I would respectfully submit to the voters who are listening, I think you want someone who has dealt with the budget as chair of Ways and Means, vice chair of the Finance Committee, majority leader of the state Senate, and the state Senate for 6 years and working on the state budget, who knows the state budget, knows how to put together a state budget, and knows what impacts each and every program have on ordinary folks that are falling behind right now.
The pandemic has highlighted the ongoing economic and social inequities within New Hampshire. What are some of the immediate steps that you take to address those inequities?
Well, first, we got to stabilize our health care system across the continuum of care and behavioral health. A lot of that was funded in the last budget and needs to be stood up right away. And Chris Sununu has failed to stand up a lot of those services for our families and our communities. Second, paid family medical leave insurance is critical, especially in a pandemic. Chris Sununu has vetoed it twice. We need to move forward with it immediately. Third, got to stabilize the housing market. We had a bit of a housing crisis prior to COVID-19. It's only worse now. The vacancy rate nationwide for rental housing is about 5%. In New Hampshire, it's less than 2%. It's only getting worse. We need to advance workforce and affordable housing. In addition to that, Rick, we need to move forward with common sense protections for renters and homeowners. facing foreclosure, the kind of folks that I represented as a legal aid lawyer.
Well, what did you make of Sununu's COVID Equity Task Force and its recommendations? Would you adopt those recommendations, take a different approach? What else needs to be done?
Well, first and foremost, I think we need to establish the Office of Racial Equity within the governor's office. And the director of the office should be a person of color, and that office should take on responsibilities and duties similar to what Vermont has done, creating an Office of Racial Equity. That will take care of a few things. Number one, identifying systemic practices and policies within state government that have a disparate negative impact on communities of color. And then number two, work to eradicate those policies and work to provide solutions to those policies that have a negative impact on communities of color. Number three, work to include more folks in our state government in key decision making that are from communities of color. And number four, reach out to communities of color to involve them in key state decision making. That is central to this. You know, it's one thing to form a committee. It's another thing to form an actual office that does the work.
Do you support the movement to defund law enforcement in New Hampshire?
No. I think we need police reform. And I think we need criminal justice reform. And I think we need behavioral health services across the board. That's good for everybody. And right now you're seeing what's happening at the local level, where police in some cases are doing the jobs of social workers. And that leads to, in some cases, the criminalization of mental health. We need to decriminalize mental health. We need to make sure that we treat mental health as it is, a healthcare issue. And there's so many people right now, Rick, even today, that are waiting in emergency rooms across the state of New Hampshire for needed, timely, and necessary and appropriate mental health treatment. Waiting in emergency rooms for mental health treatment. You don't, if you break your leg, you get service. If you have a mental health situation, you don't. You're waiting. And the saddest thing about it, Rick, is that we passed legislation, my bill, Senate Bill 14, and then funded it in the budget to deal with this, provide the community services that relieve the pressure on everybody, on our schools, police, our families, and get needed, timely, and appropriate mental health care. That's what we need to do. We funded that. It's just not been stood up by Chris Sununu.